The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome back to the show. Last week we were treated to Jeffrey Goldberg's Atlanta blockbuster story that President Trump disrespected American war dead overseas. Then there were 21 refutations of that characterization, including from erstwhile Trump critics like John Bolton. And that story went away to be replaced by the previews of Bob Woodward's book and the many based on the many interviews he apparently did with President Trump. For some reason, President Trump agreeing to those things. For some reason, Lindsey Graham setting up those interviews. I don't know how he thought that was going to go with Bob Woodward. And nonetheless, the idea that he purposely downplayed the coronavirus and the outbreak was the top line. And then Tony Fauci said last week, quote, "I didn't get any sense that he, Trump, was distorting anything. In my discussions with him, they were always straightforward about the concerns that we had." So it looks like Tony Fauci may have thrown out his last first pitch for the Nationals. Also, perhaps that those Woodward tapes may not have the explosive capacity that Democrats had hoped they would have. And so over the weekend, you're back to the COVID handling and the fact that, of course, President Trump is a mass murderer on the level of Osama bin Laden. That's what noted documentarian Michael Moore had to say in his podcast.
This is murder in the extreme. No American, other than Confederate President Jefferson Davis and his general Robert E. Lee, has killed more Americans than Donald J. Trump. Think about that. Now, you can say, well, hey, you know, Trump didn't actually kill them with his own hands. Yeah, that's true. And I can tell you for a fact that Osama bin Laden did not fly a single one of those goddamn airplanes. So he's innocent? No. Trump is a mass killer.
For more on this, and I'll try not to repeat Michael Moore's breathless tones, Matt Mayer joins us. He's the president of OpportunityOhio.org, contributor to Spectator USA. Matt, thanks for being with us again. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Robert E. Lee, Jefferson Davis, Osama bin Laden, Hitler, Mussolini, Stalin, Trump. You think that's going to work?
No, of course not. I mean, that's the kind of extreme hyperbole that the left engages in, which middle America just looks at that and just kind of scoffs because they know, you know, did the Trump administration make some mistakes in the pandemic response? Sure, every administration does. I was part of the Bush administration. We made some mistakes with the Katrina response. But to say that, you know, mistakes equal mass murder on the scale of, you know, bin Laden or Hitler or even, I guess, the Civil War is just too much and nobody buys that garbage.
You know, and you can be critical, as Andy McCarthy was, sort of echoing my sentiments when I first heard of the Bob Woodward taped, the conversation they had. Critical say, hey, look, don't downplay, level with me. I'm an adult. I can take it. Come out there and say there's no reason to panic, but we got this problem. Here's our assessment of it. Here's what we plan to do about it. And everybody's going to have to, you know, man up and deal with this together. So not a time for panic, but this is serious business. And here's the approach. That's much better than saying I'm going to downplay because I don't think you can handle it. That said, the idea that that is some sort of, you know, remove him from office right now, indict him for war crimes. The reaction to, you know, sort of strategic and communication differences of opinion is so over the top from Trump critics. It sort of forces you just to say your piece and move on if you're at all sort of even keel on the topic.
Well, but here's where it also doesn't resonate, right? It's one thing for you to say that as a grown man, right? But remember, we have teenagers, college students, and even younger that listen to what the president says, that hears the news, that sees his statements. And I don't know about you, you know, when I talk to my kids, I didn't say to them, oh, look, we're all going to die possibly. It's the way it is. You know, right. There are mass extinctions in the course of human history. Get over it. I mean, I downplayed the seriousness of it because I didn't want my kids, you know, laying awake at night crying themselves to sleep because they were freaked out about this thing that nobody understood. So I think the president serves that same role because it's not just adults who are hearing what he has to say. It's frankly lots of school kids that were very scared about what was going on, about an event that we had never gone through in our entire existence as a country. So to me, you know, you can criticize how he did it, but I actually think it was the right tenor to say, I'm going to publicly talk about this as, you know, remain calm and carry on as we do our best to deal with the severity of what we think is coming.
And by the way, remain calm and carry on were literally the words of some top epidemiologists at the time of the outbreak based on what we knew and what we didn't know at the time. So it's interesting. You note, I think that's a fair perspective. When we come back, I want to talk to Matt Maher about his predictions on the upcoming debates as well as, of course, the overall election. He did properly predict a Trump victory in 2016. What does he think happens on November 3rd? More with Matt Maher, president of OpportunityOhio.org, contributor to Spectator USA. Right after. I'm your vehicle, babe. I'll take you anywhere you want to go. I'm your vehicle, woman. But now I'm sure you know that I'm talking.
The more you listen, the more you'll know. This is the Dan Proft Show.
Welcome back to the show, and we're speaking with Matt Maher, president of OpportunityOhio.org. He's a contributor to Spectator USA, and he has penned a piece on the debates, trying to size them up a couple, 3 weeks out here from the first one, September 29th. And I think what the Democrats are thinking about, assuming that Joe Biden goes forward with his participation in the debates, and he's not allowed to use the teleprompter he uses for late-night TV shows, Dan Rather, I think, is the sort of panelist interrogator they're looking for. Dan Rather over the weekend with Washington Post Jonathan Capehart on MSNBC.
What this presidential election is whether the country is going to move more in the direction of white supremacy or whether it's going to move more in the direction of a multiracial constitutional republic based on the principles of freedom and democracy.
You know, it's interesting, Matt, this emphasis on white supremacy from the left at the same time that President Trump is out doing Latinos for Trump events in Nevada and flacks for the Biden campaign are saying, we know we need to do more to win the Latino vote, just for example, in addition to how Trump characterizes what he has accomplished for Black Americans during his 3 years.
Yeah, I mean, look, one party's convention featured minority after minority, and it wasn't the Democrats. One candidate said, if you don't vote for me, you're not really Black. So this whole white supremacy thing is just kind of trying to throw the race card because they're terrified that Trump is going to get a sizable number of African-American and Hispanic votes, which is what the polling data is all showing. And so they want to throw out the kind of KKK card to try to scare people that, oh, we're going to go back into the pre-1960s and Civil War era, which, by the way, those were all Democrats that were part of the KKK. Those weren't Republicans. It was Republicans under Grant that were freeing slaves, that were, you know, making sure they had their civil rights. But it's just scare tactics, and I just don't think it works.
Well, also, they've made apocalyptic predictions about what a Trump presidency would look like that didn't materialize. So at some point, I would think you would stop listening to the sort of doomsday predictions from people who keep making doomsday predictions that don't materialize.
Yeah, and look, for a guy that's supposed to be a racist, I mean, he increased funding to historical Black colleges to record levels. He obviously passed a Criminal Justice Reform Act that Obama didn't do that is going to do great things for the Black community. His economic improvements and stuff drove wages for African American up high and unemployment up high to record levels. So again, boy, what a funny thing for a guy who's a racist to do.
Right. If you were advising Trump in terms of the approach to take for September 29th, the debate, the first debate in particular, because that will be watched with bated breath around the country, around the world, I'm sure. Strategically, the approach you should take, forget the issues for a second, just sort of the tenor of your approach with respect to Biden. What would you advise Trump?
You know, I would say tamp down on the dementia talk, because I think you're driving expectations for Biden so low. And all he has to do is show up and not, you know, spit his dentures out and it's going to be called a success. And so strategically, I think that they should focus more on the fact that he is going to be a captive of the progressive left, that he doesn't speak about these riots and the violence being done, about these two cops getting shot out in L.A., you know, strongly enough or quick enough.
Right.
That he's a creature of China for now 20, 30 years. and that, you know, the wrong thing for the U.S. right now to do is to switch horses and go back to somebody who wants to placate China versus do what Trump has been doing. And the only one who did this, which is to stand up to China, to fight for the forgotten man, whether that man is a white guy or a black guy or a Hispanic woman, Trump is the one that's been in the trenches fighting for those folks for the last 3.5 years.
Do you think, just again, in terms of tone, Trump needs to be as room temperature as possible? He can say all those things, tackle all those topics you just described, and do so room temperature, tone of voice. There's no real need for invective. There's no real need for bombast. If you think that Joe Biden won't hold up over 90 minutes, then be the reasonable guy and let Joe Biden sink or swim on his own.
Yeah, I think Trump will be very much like the Trump you saw during the Hillary Clinton debates, right? He never raised his voice. He didn't go off crazy. He just kind of states things matter-of-factly. He puts them on the defense. They can't get off the defense. And, you know, he ends up winning. I mean, this is the thing where he has bested 16 very strong Republican candidates in debates. He has bested Hillary Clinton, who is wicked smart and has been around the block. So I think if he just does what he always has been doing for the last couple of years in terms of when he debates these folks, he's going to do perfectly well. We just have to stop pushing expectations for Biden so low.
I thought he had a good response in an interview with Laura Ingraham a couple weeks back to this sort of threat slash assertion of Biden and the left that if you don't elect me, then the violence is going to continue. If you don't elect me, then the chaos and the nonsense, the lawlessness will continue. And he responded to Trump saying, look, if you elect him, you're saying I give in, I surrender to the Marxists. I wonder, I'm sure Biden is going to trot out that angle of attack at the debate. Is the first offering Trump gave in response a good one?
I think it is. I mean, essentially what this is a hijacking threat, right? Like, hey, you know, give us the money and we'll let everybody go.
Yeah.
Hey, if you don't elect our guy, we're going to torch all these cities. I mean, I don't think the middle America suburban rural voter is going to look at that and say, that's a great idea. And I also think, you know, your urban, you know, African-American Hispanics are going to look at that and say, you've torched our communities. We don't want more of that. And if that's what you're threatening us, then we're going to put the guy who's going to say law and order. He's going to send these folks into the street to protect us. So I think it's a bad move. I don't think they realize how it comes across as like essentially a threat of violence if you don't do what we want. I mean, that is just a horrible way of messaging, you know, why you should vote for, you know, the Democrat guy.
Selena Zito, writing the Washington Examiner, suggests that forgotten counties in places like Pennsylvania and Ohio will make their voices heard again. There's some fairly encouraging voter registration trends in Pennsylvania as it pertains to President Trump. What's your, as a Midwesterner, what's your handle on those states that were so critical to Trump's victory in 2016, where they go in 2020?
Yeah, I think they're going to stay with Trump. I put the column out, came out last night. It's on the Spectator USA website now, where I essentially say I think Trump wins 299 to 236 at this point, because I think that Wisconsin, Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania, I think they're going to continue to go with Trump. I think the margins in Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin will be larger than they were in 2016, and Ohio may be a bit smaller. But I think it's because it's that forgotten man and woman who lives in the suburban rural areas that, you know, we're seeing registration numbers flip to in Democrat, long Democrat counties become more and more Republican. And I think it's because they're looking at the violence, right? They look at what Trump did on China, on jobs. They look at Biden and this progressive left and they say, we don't want more of that. We don't think that's the direction America should go. So I think they're going to drive out more of those voters than showed up in 2016. And I think he's going to continue to peel off, you know, 15% of the African-American vote and a higher percentage of the Hispanic-American vote, especially in places like Florida, making it mathematically very difficult for Joe Biden to win those states back.
He is Matt Maher, president of OpportunityOhio.org and contributor to Spectator USA. Matt, thanks for joining us again. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Take care.
Listening to The Dan Proft Show on the Salem.